Hi, friend. Welcome to the Yep Mothers podcast. I'm your host, Bea. I am so excited because today I have my first guest. And who better to start off what will hopefully be more guests in the future than my husband, DJ? There is usually more of a focus on the women's perspective when it comes to infertility for a number of reasons, but I would like to include the man's perspective on this too. It does take two to tango, as they say. DJ is pretty introspective when it comes to these things. Although we, of course, discuss our journey, I'm eager to see what nuggets of vulnerability, perspective, and encouragement he can provide to all the yet fathers out there. So without further ado, I hope everyone will give a warm welcome to my love, DJ.
Hey, everyone. I'm excited to be here to talk about my perspective on this whole journey and hopefully be able to give advice to anyone out there who may be struggling with the same issue.
Yay, we're so excited. So let's jump right into it. So first, babe, I would like you to discuss your desire to be a dad. Like I know you've wanted to be a dad since you were much younger, but if you could just, I guess, speak on when that started, why you wanted to be a dad so badly, and now having gone through everything, if you still feel that desire.
Yeah, ever since I was a little kid, I've always wanted to be a dad. I think it's just nature. Seeing my relationship with my dad and how close a father and a son relationship was. So growing up, I've always wanted my own son to have that close bond and relationship with. For me, I always thought my first child would come at the age of 24. I don't know why that specific age, but I did know I wanted to have children at a younger age so that if they ever wanted to play a sport or do anything, I would be young enough to engage with them, play with them. It's always been a desire, and even to this day, I don't think that desire has ever left. I still drive, and I still want to be a father to this day. I just know that under these circumstances, it's a lot harder.
Yes, y'all. I think I've said this before, but DJ thought he would have kids before 24. And I think we met when you were 22.
Yes.
And we were not married yet. So that was obviously not happening. And then also the fact that he thinks being in our early 30s and that's like old to have kids. Granted, yes, we are both broken. Thank you to the military, but that's a completely different story. I think from a woman's perspective, I've obviously spoken a number of times about having that desire, which is funny for me because I had the opposite path in my mind. I have said before that I, in my youth, unknowingly understanding what the implications of what I was saying was, sorry to my mom again, would say that I was never having kids. And then in my mind, I thought I would not get married and start having kids and all that stuff until I was around 27 because I wanted to establish myself in whatever career path and all that stuff that I had planned out for me. And then look at us both now. Clearly, neither of our plans worked out, but you know, the Lord allows man to plan, but he orders our steps. So if that is not a deliberate and very real example of that, I don't know what is. So on that note, so if you could go a little deeper into your thoughts and feelings on our infertility journey so far, because obviously the way you perceive things and how you think about our journeys has been different than the way I've lived it and walked it out. And I think that there isn't enough perspective on how the man in the equation feels and thinks on the topic. And I think there should be more of that. So with that said, babe, if you would.
Yeah, this processing journey has been very difficult on me. I think a lot of the focus is centered around the female's perspective and how she feels when she can't birth a child. But I think males have a hard time as well. And that's what I've been dealing with. But my trust and faith in God is what kept me grounded.
Didn't I tell y'all that during our journey, this man was externally cool, calm, cool, and collected, and it frustrated me so much, and that every time I would start freaking out about something, he was always so steady about everything, and his faith is really what kept him, as he said, grounded in that. But your girl was frustrated in the beginning with how casual he appeared about the whole thing. But obviously now, being years into this, I know that that was not the case. But sorry, babe, go on.
Yeah, I would say even though my faith was grounded in Christ, there were still moments and days where it was very difficult on me. It's a team project, right? Mm-hmm. Just as much as a female's body is made to produce a child, a male has his play in it as well. And so those moments and times where it was really tough on me, my thoughts went to things like, how can I be a man but not be able to produce? Or how can I, knowing that you wanted a child and I wasn't able to provide for you and help creating a child, weighed heavy on my mind. But once again, I try not to let those things turn into anxiety or worry, because I just know that God is the creator of all things, and in due time, whatever he wants is going to happen.
Amen. So you touched on the, obviously, part that the man plays and everything. So those thoughts that you described having from being a man, not being able to provide or produce or what have you, were those thoughts before we had done your side of the testing, or did that come afterwards?
Yeah, those thoughts are actually there even before, but I think the test results that we got back, it made it weigh even heavier on my mind, because now I see the data. Now I see that, oh wow, like I really could be the issue as to why we're not having children. And one of the things is just trying to figure out what that issue is. Is it because of the way that I eat? Is it because of certain lifestyles, the clothes that I'm wearing? Whatever the case may be, I didn't know what was causing the data to be whatever it was. And so the not knowing was really difficult with dealing with.
No, that's fair. And I just want to clarify, when he says the data, he means the results of the semen analysis, which I've spoken at length, I think, at this point on previous episodes. Yeah. I think I mentioned in the last one that you had done one somewhat recently, and then we found out, unfortunately, the beta blockers DJ had to take after his heart attack did end up impacting them. The good thing is, though, that men are in theory able to rebound from that because they are reproducing sperm every like 3 months. So hopefully the next one will show better results. And then of course if it isn't showing already, I've inundated DJ with data points on things that impact male fertility. So that's why he's referring to eating, lifestyle, and clothing. Because almost every week I pull out some other data point of like, hey, did you know that polyester does this, this, and this? Like, so that is what he's referring to.
I never hear the end of it.
Since it's been mentioned now, and it can be, I guess, in line or separate from, but how, if and how you having a sudden heart attack has impacted your perspective on our fertility journey, if it has at all. I ask that because from my perspective, I remember before the heart attack, we had discussed IUI and you wanted to give it another like 6 months or so when I got back from deployment to figure out if we were going to go forth with that. And then I remember once I got home after your heart attack, within like a few weeks, it got brought back up and then we ended up doing it, I think the first or second month that I got home after your heart attack. So I was just wondering, if that maybe impacted your perspective, your decision to want to do IUI and all that fun stuff.
Honestly, the heart attack had no impact on my perspective at all. I just thought that while you were gone on your rotation, I was thinking about IUI and just trying to do whatever we could human possibly do to conceive a child. And so I just thought it was the right moment. But the reason why the heart attack didn't really have an impact was because I know a lot of times, and in a lot of circumstances, heart attacks are fatal. Especially a lot of the headlines nowadays, we're starting to see a lot of 30-year-olds that are dying from heart attacks. And I was right there in that same boat. But to me, like, I've never felt a sense of, like, as if I was going to die, or a sense of, oh, I need to try to hurry up and do these things, or I could die tomorrow, whatever the case may be. So it didn't have an impact at all. But I just going back and thinking about previous conversations, and I just thought, as a man and as a husband, I wanted to do my due diligence and help you, I guess, achieve one of your biggest dreams in becoming a mother.
When he says that he was calm during his heart attack, y'all, you don't understand. I've said this before. This man was literally having a heart attack for like 10 hours before he went to the hospital. And he was just, again, so casual. Meanwhile, me and his mother are freaking out because, hello, her son and my husband just had a heart attack.
In my defense, I didn't know it was a heart attack. I've never had one before. So how was I supposed to know?
And then even in the hospital, I think day two or three or something, I don't think I'd gotten home yet. And he's like, no, it's not a heart attack, like, whatever. And then I immediately text his mom and was like, was it a heart attack? And she was like, yes. I asked the nurse specifically, was it a heart attack in the medical terms? And she was like, yes, it was a heart attack. So DJ at first, like, didn't even realize that what he had just experienced was a heart attack until like 2 days later.
Yes, because they kept calling it a myocardial infarction, which I didn't know that meant heart attack. So I kept going around hearing, oh yeah, you had a myocardial infarction. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, that's what I had. Not knowing that means
that's heart a heart attack. Goodness gracious. If you see your girl stressed out, it's because of him. So for me, I don't know if, I guess I just, from my perspective, it seemed like those things were interrelated to each other. the heart attack and then wanting to do IUI. Obviously, I was incorrect. Not because I thought that, oh, now there's like death looming over us or something like that, but it just seemed more expeditious, I guess. But I was also unaware at the time that he had been even thinking about IUI, or our, you know, trying to conceive during my time away at all. So knowing that now, obviously, I guess changed my perspective on his perspective on our fertility journey. But obviously anything like that is life changing. So I think that event, unfortunate as it was, and obviously I think anyone would prefer if their spouse did not go through that, did ultimately serve as a catalyst, I think, for changing, I know, at least my perspective in terms of focusing so deeply on trying to get pregnant and everything, to now like, okay, how do we get DJ's body back to health without all these toxic pharmaceuticals that he had, unfortunately, to be on initially, and, you know, use the things God has given us that are natural to heal his body, outside of even the miracle healing that he received that we found out about a few weeks after his heart attack, which is a story within itself, but not only how to heal him, his heart, and everything else, of course, but also to identify what was going on with my body, because I didn't want to have to rely on all the medications that they give you in order to, you know, ovulate and all that, especially knowing that me having been diagnosed with PCOS makes me at a higher chance of having complications with the medication taken for a long duration of time. And then outside of that, obviously, infertility is just hard. It is not an easy journey. It is frustrating. It is heartbreaking. It is a whole lot of things. And we hear that constantly, as I've said multiple times now, as we both have said, we hear that a lot from the women's perspective. But babe, I would like to ask you what the hardest part of infertility has been for you, encapsulating everything you've mentioned, things you haven't mentioned yet. What has been the hardest part of this whole journey for you?
Yeah, I think the hardest part is the uncertainty of knowing if we will ever conceive a child. I think as a man, every man should have a desire to raise a child. And that's just my personal opinion. But for me, I've already started to collect my favorite things, because I've just been so excited to one day pass it down to my children. And just the thought of raising a child in my own way, and in our way, and having, you know, creating culture with your child, heritage, whatever the case may be, that's always what I wanted to do, just have my own family. And so that's just been the hardest part, is the uncertainty.
Yeah, the uncertainty is definitely the worst part. And obviously anyone listening can't see us right now, but I literally record these episodes in the room that we had picked out in our house that would be a nursery for our future children. And I have collected things too, like DJ, but not my favorite things per se, but children's books and little knickknacks and stuff like that that have sat in this room. We've discussed potentially getting furniture to actually furnish it and things of that nature. But for now, it's just an empty room with some kids' books and a teddy bear and my recording equipment. hoping that one day we'll be, you know, shopping for an active pregnancy, but who knows? Because we don't know if that'll ever happen for us. Unfortunately, that is a reality that many couples have to think about and deal with and live out. I know we've spoken about this briefly. I think I was very emotional when we did talk about it. But if you could share your thoughts and feelings regarding the potential that we could never have kids.
Yeah, that's a difficult one to answer. It'll be hard to put my thoughts and feelings into words for this question, but I'll definitely try my best. If I were to summarize how I feel into one word, honestly, it'll just be a simple word like hurt. I feel hurt that my body doesn't function the way it's supposed to. I feel hurt that God says in the Bible, go forth and multiply. And there are many verses on how to raise a child. And yet I can't participate in that at all.
Well, we haven't been able to yet.
Yes, yet. So yeah, I'll say hurt is what I feel. But I have to understand that this is not an attack on me. This is not an attack on my family. This is not an attack on us. I think in this and going through this, will make us stronger, make us tougher. And if one day we do have a child, make us cherish that child as a child should be cherished, as the way God has always intended a child to be cherished and to be raised. And so that's what I've been having to deal with, is taking my hurt and turn it into, well, I don't turn it into peace, but my faith in Christ, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, turns that into peace. And so each day, every day, I continue to do what I do, whatever that may be, knowing that though I feel hurt in this circumstance, there's peace in it, no matter what.
Yeah, although we did not ask for this to be our story, it is the story we're given. It's the story we have. And hopefully it's just a piece of our testimony and not the whole of our testimony regarding fertility and our fertility and our family and everything. But what does the word say? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. And even if it does not happen for us, we know that our story can still serve to be encouragement or to help someone out there. I know personally, I've been able to talk to some of my coworkers or friends and in one way or another, encourage or educate them on the process, on the things we've dealt with, on how ovulation, how conception, how all those things happen, which has inspired a whole lot of other relationships and conversations. So although it definitely sucks for us, there is a lot of pain and hurt and betrayal really that is felt on both halves of this equation. We know that at the end of the day, it is just part of the story that we tell now and we will be able to tell later.
But we do have Blue. And she counts as 5 kids.
What so. About Bandit?
Yes, Bandit as well. Bandit is one, but Blue is many children.
Blue is a mini Aussie, and she has the, like, textbook Aussie personality. Meaning she's crazy. She is a menace to society. But she loves us. She's literally, I think, laying outside, right outside the door or in the next room waiting for us to come out so that she can be attached to our hips again. Thank you for that, babe. In regards to, you know, the many people that we know and that know us and know our journey or not, we do have a few friends who've had kids in the last few years. So I know how a lot of women feel about that. I don't necessarily, I guess, agree or attune to that. I've never really felt jealous at my friends, you know, being able to conceive. Like, sure, it's been a sore topic or something to extend, or it reminds me of, you know, our journey, but I don't think I would use the word, I guess, jealous to describe what I've felt when people have told me that, you know, they're having children. So I'm curious, have you ever felt jealous at our friends or people you know successfully having kids, whether it was intentionally or unintentionally?
No, not at all. Jealousy has never been an issue. One of the things I've been really adamant about in the last couple of years is waking up every morning and being grateful for what I have. And so every morning I pray to God and I just thank Him for everything that we have. And yes, you're right. We do have friends that have children, but I look at the life that we're able to live and the things that we have, and though they may have children, they don't have the things that we have that I'm completely grateful for. And just to bring it up, just because I just want to toot the horn on how good my God is we bought our house in 2020, and we have the possibility of having it completely paid off by the end of 2025. And a lot of people can't say that. And so we have been financially blessed. And so, yes, though my friends do have achieved in one of our biggest dreams, there are other aspects in life that we have achieved through the grace of God. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen. I mean, I try not to look at other people's baskets, so to speak, and I guess compare with, you know, what we have that they don't have or vice versa. But to just stand on the statement alone, like, yes, we have been very blessed in regards to all the things that we do have. It did take a few trips around the world, some sacrifice away from each other and friends and family, but that is the method in which God used for us to be able to do the things that DJ just mentioned. And although we have our own personal strifes with serving the military and what that has, you know, impacted in our health and our relationship and all that other stuff, it did serve its benefits for us. So I don't think that, you know, well, I know God doesn't make any mistakes, but He definitely didn't make any mistakes with us serving and its relationship to all the stuff that He's provided us. And unfortunately, the military and all that has come with it is not the only thing that had the potential to impact our relationship. How do you think, if there has been any, our infertility journey has impacted our relationship?
I don't think infertility has impacted our relationship at all. Our identity is not in having a child. And so regardless of if we have a child or not, it's not going to impact how we feel about each other or any aspect of our relationship.
Even when you basically said I was a taskmaster for trying to schedule out our intimate moments for conception.
You are a taskmaster.
I am not.
But on the other hand, I think that we loved each other way before we thought about having kids, and we'll love each other way after we do or don't have kids. So it's not going to play a part in our relationship at all. And I honestly think we'll continue to grow in this process and through it. And as long as we keep our eyes on Christ, as we grow, we'll continue to grow in an upward direction.
Amen. I think it's also helped that we have had people around us, like our family, our friends, and all that stuff, who do know what we're going through and try to support us as best as they can, whether that is just, you know, kind words, prayers. We have a whole lot of people praying for us, who have been praying for us, who have prayed over us, and all the alike, who have offered. I know some of my friends have like sent me articles or tidbits or asked me about certain things that they've read into that can potentially help. And even if I don't, you know, articulate at that moment, I am so grateful for that, because that is obviously how they're showing me and us love and trying to be intentional with how they support us through our infertility journey and our, you know, deep desire to become parents. But I am also curious, because I know who we have shared with together, kind of thing, obviously, with our friends and family. And typically, women are a lot less forthcoming in when they're going through infertility, because there's a lot of shame associated with it, because, you know, your body is not able to do, or is not doing, like, the one thing it was uniquely made to do. And I wonder if you have told anyone we're going through infertility outside of, you know, people we both have shared with.
No, not at all. I would say you're definitely asking the wrong person, and you know it, because I am not a people person.
He is the introvert of all introverts.
Yes. And so I just don't talk to people. And honestly, the important people know, and that's all that matters. And so we have friends and family that support us through this. And with that being said, I don't need a stranger down the street knowing what we're going through.
He's so sassy. I did not mean strangers down the street, my good sir.
Okay, well, anyone who's not a friend or a family is a stranger, so.
Oh my goodness. I can't.
But I guess you all know now, so welcome to the friend club.
I mean, I do open by saying, hi, friend. So, I
mean. There you go.
No, I have said this on the podcast. I don't know if I've ever said this directly to you, but my prayers used to be that we would have kids, you know, that I could get pregnant, that my womb would be open and things of that nature. And at some point my prayers changed that I just want God to, not I just want, I'm asking God to make you a dad, because I have said it before, but kids literally are drawn to this man, and I am just so excited to see him as a dad, because I just know he's going to be the best dad. And the fact that it hasn't happened yet is not something I'm ever lost on, but I am at least glad that we are in a different place in our journey where, at least for me, it doesn't, our, you know, attempting to conceive does not weigh as heavily on me anymore. I don't really feel stress about it. And I think that was also a gift from God, a very intentional gift from God, because DJ can tell you I was wound up very tightly in the beginning of our journey, as the taskmaster goes.
Indeed.
So I guess to close up, babe, do you have any thoughts, prayers, encouragement, anything like that, last words you'd like to leave with any yet fathers on infertility?
Absolutely. I would say, as men, we were raised to be men. And what I mean by that is we were raised to bottle things up, to not share our struggles and frustrations with others. And so my advice would be, to reach out to someone, especially your spouse, I would say this is a topic that you should definitely reach out, open up with your spouse. Because honestly, for me, if I didn't have the wife that I have, if I didn't have the family that I have, if I didn't have the friends that I have, and if I didn't have the Almighty Holy God that I have, honestly, I don't know what I would do. And it would be a real struggle, because this is a tough topic. This is a tough journey and situation to go through, especially on your own. So don't be afraid to reach out. Don't be afraid to open up. And don't be afraid to talk about something that a lot of people would normally say it's a woman's issue. But I think as men, we struggle with these things and these feelings and thoughts as well.
And that is on raising emotionally intelligent, emotionally regulated boys to become emotionally intelligent and emotionally regulated men. But not to make a whole joke on that. Thank you, babe, for that. I think it is important to have more men in this sphere, in this community, because it obviously affects you guys. Like, it's not like I can produce a baby on my own. I can't split one of my own eggs and form a child. So kind of need you involved. And unfortunately, right, to your point, there is a lot of shame that I mentioned for women, but I'm sure some of that is also on men because, you know, you're part in this. And the desire to provide and feeling inadequate in that ability to provide, it can definitely weigh heavily on anyone, let alone, you know, the person who is supposed to be leading and taking care of the family and providing for the family and things of that nature.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak my mind and heart on this topic. And yeah, if you ever need me for another podcast, you know where I live.
You Cooper. Thank you for coming on here. I know, as we've said, he's very introspective and introverted. So him coming on here and sharing, I know that is not your favorite thing to do, but I'm thankful that you love me so much that you'll do it anyway.
Of course.
Well, that is all I or we have for you today. I hope you were encouraged or in the least felt seen and understood. If you're not already, I would be so grateful if you would subscribe or share my little podcast with someone you think may benefit from or enjoy it. And if you've been with me for the past few episodes, I would appreciate if you would leave a review. And again, you can find me and contact me on Instagram at @yemothers. Until next time, be safe, be good. Bye.